Welcome to the Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast. Today, we're diving into a really fascinating cognitive quirk, something that probably tricks your brain more often than you even realize. Our task today, drawing from a Wikipedia article summary and some related ideas, is to unpack what's really going on when your brain seems to just conjure things up. Have you ever noticed this yourself? Like, you learn a new word or maybe hear about something kind of obscure, and then boom, suddenly it's popping up everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. It really feels like the universe is suddenly spotlighting that one thing, right?
Exactly. Like, it's conspiring against you. We call this the frequency illusion, or sometimes the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Mm. We're going to explore, why your brain does this, what's happening under the hood, and maybe why understanding this little mental glitch is actually more important than you might think for daily life.
Yeah, what's really captivating here is how our minds aren't just like passively taking things in. They're actively building our reality. So we'll explore these subtle psychological processes that create these patterns we perceive, these connections, even when objectively they might not really be there. And it's not just about words or weird coincidences. It really does impact everything from, say, the choices you make when shopping, to how you read the news, even how professionals make some pretty critical decisions.
Okay, so let's start with the names then. They're quite intriguing. Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. That sounds pretty specific. Where did that one come from?
It's a great story, actually, and really relatable. That name, Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, it popped up back in 1994. A reader, Terry Mullen, wrote a letter to the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He described how he just encountered the name of this German militant group, Bader-Meinhof, just once. But then, like immediately after, he started seeing references to them absolutely everywhere. You know, books, TV, conversations.
What?
And apparently this really resonated. Other readers wrote in saying, me too. That happened to me with whatever thing they'd just noticed. So that kind of collective aha moment gave the phenomenon its first rather memorable popular name.
That's funny how things catch on like that. So that's the story name. What about the more sort of scientific term frequency illusion?
Right. That came a bit later. It offers a more, let's say, academic perspective. It was coined in 2005 by Arnold Zwicky. He's a well-known Stanford linguistics professor. He actually blogged about this effect. And he wanted a term that, better capture the cognitive processes involved, moving beyond just one specific example like Bader-Meinhof. It describes the general experience, that feeling of inflated frequency when you notice something new. It just gave it a better label for, like, study and discussion.
Okay, right. So let's unpack this mental trick itself. Our minds aren't just being random here. There are specific, pretty powerful cognitive biases doing the work. If we look under the hood, what are the main sort of mental gears driving this illusion?
Yeah, the consensus really points to this powerful team up between a couple of cognitive biases and just how our attention works. Arnold Zwicky himself, actually, when he coined frequency illusion, he highlighted two main psychological processes he thought were key: selective attention and confirmation bias. Mm. Think of them as working one after the other.
Okay, so let's start with the first one, selective attention. How does that kick things off? What does that actually, feel like?
Okay, imagine your brain is like air traffic control. It's constantly bombarded with signals, right? Information from everywhere. Selective attention is like the controller's ability to just unconsciously zero in on one specific plane, tracking it while filtering out all the other noise.
Mm-hmm.
So when you encounter something new, a word, a concept, even like a specific model of car you never noticed before, your brain gets this sort of new instruction. Hey, look out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Your selective attention basically shines a spotlight onto that specific thing. The object or idea has to be selected by your attention first before your brain even starts counting it, so to speak.
Right. So it flags it first.
Exactly. That initial awareness is the trigger. Like, if you just learn the word serendipity, suddenly your brain's primed to catch it when people use it, whereas before it just flew under the radar.
And then it gets really interesting because that mental spotlight hands things over to confirmation bias, doesn't it? It's almost like creating your own evidence.
Precisely. That's the perfect way to put it. Once selective attention has highlighted something, confirmation bias takes the driver's seat. And this is our built-in tendency, to seek out, interpret, and remember information that confirms what we already think or suspect.
While ignoring stuff that doesn't fit.
Exactly. Ignoring or downplaying anything contradictory. So you've learned the new word, your attention's drawn to it, and now your brain is actively hunting for more examples. You start noticing it everywhere, not because it's objectively happening more, but because your brain is looking for it. It reinforces that initial feeling. See? I knew this was popping up more.
Right. You're basically building a case in your own head.
You are. You're effectively looking for reassurance that your perception of increased frequency is correct.
That makes total sense. So selective attention is like setting the filter. And confirmation bias is like eagerly collecting everything that passes through it. Are there other related effects that kind of pile on? What about the recency illusion? That sounds like it could play a part too.
Oh, absolutely. It often goes hand in hand with the frequency illusion. Recency illusion is when you notice something recently, and then you convince yourself not just that you're seeing it more, but that the thing itself started recently.
Ah, okay. Like it's a brand new trend.
Exactly. It makes the frequency illusion feel stronger because that fresh awareness makes you think it's a new or rapidly growing phenomenon. Maybe you just heard about, I don't know, doom scrolling,
yeah.
And suddenly you think everyone's doing it and it just started yesterday. Even though the idea of obsessively reading bad news isn't new at all.
Right.
Both of these illusions, recency and frequency, they stem from selective attention. And really the best defense against both is, well, fact-checking, looking for the actual history or data.
Okay. And then there's the split category effect. That one sounds a bit different, maybe more statistical.
It is slightly different, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's less about that initial noticing and more about how we estimate frequency later on, but it can definitely contribute. The split category effect basically shows that if you break a broad category into smaller, more specific subcategories, people tend to estimate the total number as being higher.
How does that work?
Okay, classic example.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask you to estimate the number of dogs in your city, you'll give me a number. But if I ask you to estimate the number of beagles, Labradors, poodles, and French bulldogs, and then you add those up, that total sum is often predicted to be way larger than your first estimate for just dogs.
Ah, I see. Because you're thinking about more specific examples.
Precisely. So, applying that to our illusion, say you become aware of a big concept like artificial intelligence. Then you start noticing its subcategories more distinctly, like machine learning, natural language processing, AI art generators.
Mm-hmm.
You might then perceive the overall frequency of AI discussions as having massively increased just because you're now noticing all these specific parts more clearly. Your brain is counting more individual boxes, basically.
That's fascinating how easily our estimates can be skewed just by how we categorize things. So, okay, beyond these immediate biases, what do some of the deeper cognitive theories tell us about why these illusions happen at a more fundamental level? Why are our brains wired this way?
Well, if we zoom out a bit, cognitive information processing theory gives us a useful framework. It suggests that these errors in judging frequency, these regressive frequency judgments, happen because of glitches or discrepancies in how our brains process information. Our brain isn't like a perfect video recorder, it interprets. And when information isn't processed completely accurately, especially if it's, say, emotionally charged or really vivid.
Like a scary news story.
Exactly. That can distort our perception of how often things actually occur. Studies, like some done by Begg and colleagues, showed frequency estimates are heavily influenced by context and emotional weight. We tend to seriously overestimate how often things happen if they grab our attention because they're novel or maybe threatening or just really memorable.
So our brain's like, whoa, that was intense. Must happen all the time, even if it doesn't.
Pretty much. It prioritizes impact over accurate counting, in a way.
And what about the information loss account? That sounds like maybe our brain is just dropping data.
That's a good way to think about it. This theory suggests frequency illusions can stem from basically unsystematic errors when we try to process skewed distributions. Now, skewed distributions just mean situations where things aren't evenly spread. Some events are super common, others are incredibly rare. Our brain kind of messes up when estimating frequencies in those situations, especially for the less common stuff or when we only have a small amount of data, like a small sample size. This can trick us into believing rare things happen more often than they really do. We might overemphasize the few examples we do encounter.
Like seeing a few reports of a rare side effect and thinking it's suddenly common.
Exactly that. Our brain struggles with the small numbers in the context of the big picture and might incorrectly inflate the frequency.
Okay, this is all clearly having real-world effects. So what does it actually mean for our decision-making day-to-day? Does relying on this illusion, you know, lead us down the wrong path?
That's the critical question, isn't it? Can relying on this illusion lead to serious misjudgment? And the answer seems to be yes, absolutely. Researchers point out it can be misused, sometimes unintentionally. People might dismiss genuinely rare causes or possibilities. Well, they might attribute their perception of something only to their increased awareness, oh, I'm just noticing it more, rather than considering if there's actually a real, albeit small, change in how often it's happening. It can give us a skewed view.
And that brings us to the mongoose phenomenon. That sounds interesting. Is it suggesting the illusion isn't always the only explanation?
Exactly right. The mongoose phenomenon is a really neat counterpoint. It challenges that standard view that increased awareness always explains the perceived frequency. It suggests that sometimes those events we suddenly notice might actually be happening slightly more often, even if they're still rare overall. There could be real underlying factors increasing their actual frequency that we shouldn't just dismiss as bias.
So don't just assume it's all in your head.
Right. It encourages a more nuanced look. Think about medical diagnosis. Occam's razor says go for the simplest explanation. But then there's Hickam's dictum, which basically says a patient can have multiple problems at once. The mongoose phenomenon is a bit like Hickam's dictum. It reminds us not to automatically jump to the simplest explanation. It's just bias. When maybe, just maybe, something genuinely rare is presenting itself more often, even subtly.
That's a really important check, isn't it? Stay curious. So, is there a way to maybe mitigate this bias or at least manage it better?
Well, this is where the natural frequency hypothesis is really interesting. It might offer a practical tool. This hypothesis argues that we humans are evolutionarily kind of wired to process information better when it's presented as natural frequencies, meaning actual counts of events, like 10 out of 1,000 people.
Rather than percentages or probabilities.
Exactly. Rather than abstract single event probabilities like a 1% chance. Think about our ancestors. They relied on concrete observations. We saw bison three times this moon cycle, not there's a 0.1 probability of bison.
Big sense.
So the idea is if you present information using these natural frequencies, it might actually help reduce cognitive illusions, like the frequency illusion. It taps into our brain's more intuitive counting mechanism, giving us a more accurate gut feeling about how often things truly happen, helping us maybe override that bias.
That's practical. Okay, this is where it gets super relatable because once you know about this stuff, you really do start seeing it everywhere. Where does the frequency illusion pop up in daily life? Let's start with linguistics, since a linguist named the illusion.
Oh, it's a perfect starting point. Zwicky himself saw it in his own field. He noticed linguists studying, say, innovative uses of words like using all as a quotative, you know, she was all, let's go.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They became convinced their friends were using it constantly. They were absolutely sure it was everywhere. But then, when they actually sat down and transcribed conversations and counted, the real usage was way, way lower than they thought.
Huh. So their perception was way off.
Totally. And this applies to so many things we think are new linguistic trends or things only kids these days say. Often, they have a much longer history than we realize. Even those prescriptive grammar guides, the ones telling us how we should talk, often make claims about word frequency that just don't match up with reality, probably because of their own frequency illusions.
Okay, what about in medicine? That seems like an area where this could have really serious consequences.
Indeed. The stakes are definitely higher there. Medical professionals, like anyone, can be susceptible. A key example was during the COVID-19 pandemic peak. Doctors started noticing toe discoloration quite a bit. And because it was happening at the same time as the surge, many quickly concluded it was a definite sign of COVID-19. You heard the term COVID toes everywhere.
I remember that.
Right? But later research showed that while some cases were linked, the actual rate was much lower than the perceived frequency at the time suggested. The illusion, fueled by intense focus on COVID symptoms, led to some misinterpretation. However, there's a flip side. Researchers think this can be used positively too. By intentionally priming medical trainees, maybe showing them lots of images of a rare skin lesion, you can actually increase their ability to spot that rare condition later.
So you use the illusion to improve diagnosis.
Kind of. By boosting the salience and perceived frequency during training, they're more likely to recognize it when it genuinely appears in a patient. It can actually enhance care for rare diseases.
That's a fascinating twist. Okay, and then there's marketing. I have a feeling they know all about this.
Oh, absolutely. Marketing is probably where this illusion is most deliberately leveraged. It's practically a core tactic. Think about it. First, they introduce a product or brand with ads that plants the seed, makes you aware.
Step one.
Step one. Then, once you're aware, your selective attention kicks in. Suddenly, you start seeing that product everywhere, right?
Yeah. On buses, TV, friends mention it.
Yes, exactly. Social media, conversations, in stores. This constant noticing makes you believe the product is way more popular, more in than it might actually be. And that perceived popularity, maybe you want to fit in or you think everyone else has it, makes you much more likely to buy it. It's a really clever psychological play.
Definitely works. Okay, how about economics? Does this affect how we see big things like inflation?
It does, significantly. Research shows our gut feeling about the overall inflation rate is hugely influenced by the price changes of things we buy frequently.
Like groceries, gas.
Precisely. Your daily coffee, your weekly groceries. If those prices jump, even if prices for cars or TVs stay flat, you're likely to feel like overall inflation is really high just because you encounter those specific price hikes constantly. There are even studies suggesting, interestingly, that women's perception of inflation might be more biased than men's, possibly linked to more frequent retail shopping exposure.
Wow, really?
Yeah, seeing those everyday price tags more often seem to disproportionately shape their overall inflation perception. And this feeling can really influence behavior spending, saving, investing, even how people vote on economic policy.
All based on what you notice most often. And finally, even in research methodology itself, it can trip up researchers.
Yes, even researchers trying to be objective aren't immune. Frequency illusions can lead them to draw faulty conclusions, especially if their data, their sample, is kind of limited. Like if they study a trend in one small community and see it a few times, the illusion might make them think it's a huge, widespread trend across the whole country.
When it might just be localized.
Exactly. Leading to inaccurate assessments, potentially misguiding future research, or even policy based on a perception inflated by limited but noticeable data. It's a reminder for everyone to check their assumptions about frequency.
So wrapping this up, the frequency illusion, Bader-Meinhof, whatever you call it, it's clearly way more than just a little brain quirk. It's a fundamental cognitive bias that quietly shapes how we see the world, doesn't it? From words to products, economic feelings, even medical calls.
Absolutely. And I think understanding that our brains are these active filters, always trying to confirm patterns rather than just neutrally recording everything, that understanding is key. It encourages us to maybe pause sometimes and ask ourselves, am I really seeing this more often? Or did my brain just turn up the volume on something that was already there now that I've noticed it?
Yeah, it's a good mental check. Maybe the next time you suddenly see that new car model everywhere or hear that phrase over and over, you can just appreciate the intricate and sometimes biased dance of selective attention and confirmation bias going on inside your own head. It's a great reminder that perception isn't passive. It's an active construction and sometimes a pretty skewed one. That's all for this episode. Thanks for tuning in.